We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
So, for about the last two and a little bit years, there have been a very special couple that has been with us in our church. You may have seen them around here serving and ministering and being very committed and connected here in our church. And that couple is sitting right over here. It is Thiago and Erica, and their little girl that's soon to be born, Isabella. And she is due now. Yeah, any time. I told her before church that when my mom was delivering me, there was the picture of a little baby inside of a womb with a caption that said, "You can scream all you want, but I'm not coming out till I'm ready." And one of the privileges of pastoring a church like Faith is to see the growth that takes place in the lives of God's people. And watching Thiago and Erica come here, and many of you know his passion, his call to ministry, his call back to his home country, Brazil, to serve there in a capacity now as one of the directors. And if you've been with us for any length of time, he's been able to share a little bit about what his ministry is going to entail there. I think the easiest way to describe it is if you'd think a little bit about Life Action. How many of you remember Life Action when they came here? It's very similar to that and the way that they minister there in Brazil under the umbrella of Word of Life. And so we've been praying for some time now, and the pastors and I have been talking, and so we're going to be doing a couple of things. Number one, we're going to make Faith Baptist Church is going to be the sending church for them. So they're going to be sent out of Faith Baptist Church. So that's the first thing we're doing. With that will come a substantial increase in their monthly support, because we want to have a much more direct link and contact with them, and we want to be able to do that. The second thing we're going to do is on March 17th in the evening, the elders, the pastoral leadership here of the church, we're going to lay hands on Thiago and ordain him into the ministry. And so that is a very exciting time for them, for this family. I talked with him this week. I had Robin call him and set up an appointment and said, "Hey, pastor wants to see you." And he came and sat down in my office, and he was kind of looking at me. I said, Do you know why you're here?" And he said, "No." but it has been, Thiago, it's been a joy to see the maturity level. Let me also say that I know Pastor Mike has had a very big hand in your life in helping you just get some things worked out and ironed out. And sitting next to you tonight is Erica's mom and dad. We want to welcome them. We're glad you're here. Church, can we welcome them? Very glad you guys are here. Thank you for being a part of this. I understand you're going to be out of the country on the night that we are going to get an opportunity to do this. We're sorry about that, but hopefully you'll be here for the baby.
Yes.
That's way more important. And so there's a few other little things that are entailed in that with Thiago, but I talked with him, and I said it would be good tonight if you came on this night, just as a little precursor to what's coming in March, a very special time for them. And so he's going to come, and just for these next few minutes, bring us a challenge from the Word of God. So Thiago, we love you. Would you come and speak to us tonight?
Amen. Well, beforehand, I need to tell you guys that I tend to cry a lot. So I had butterflies on my stomach today, the whole day, just because I love you guys. And you are my church. You are my family here. You know, like those past 2 years since we have come here, we understood that God was preparing us to go back to Brazil. You know, like I firmly believe that He wants us there for the time being, and then He has a purpose for us. But I know that nobody knows the time or the hour or the day that He's coming. And I don't want Him to find me waiting for the future. I want to be working and serving Him. And you guys have been amazing. A church that has challenged me, that has encouraged me to just serve the Lord. And I love you guys. This is one of the reasons why I had butterflies all day in my stomach. The other, it's just because our pastors are awesome. We are privileged. We are a church that's privileged to have like a an amazing and awesome body of men that serve and love the Lord and that encourage us to serve and love the Lord as well. And the third reason also, it's because my father and mother-in-law came all the way from Brazil just to give me a critique after that. So just pray for me, okay? We are so happy that they are here. I say if you had a chance to talk to me and a little bit about ministry, one of the things that I say is that I know that the Lord calling me because I'm going to be in Brazil serving under the leadership of my father and mother-in-law. So if this is not God, I don't know who is, right? But has been an awesome ministry. And we have been sharing a little bit about it with you guys. But it's an amazing thing that our church is growing so much. But it's also very hard to catch up with everybody. So if you guys have no idea who I was or like what we were going to be doing in Brazil, just please come. We would love to talk and share our heart with you guys and get you guys also like excited about what the Lord has been doing in Brazil. But when Pastor said about like the opportunity of being here and sharing from God's word, I had two texts in my heart. And I decided to go with one text that's very, like, safe ground for me. Okay, I gotta admit that. Not because I nailed this text or anything, but it's just because it's something that the Lord has been teaching me over this past 10 years. I don't think I'm there yet, but I have been learning. And I would like to share and hopefully, like, challenge you guys in the Word of God as well. Okay, title for my message tonight, it's Missions, A Matter of Priority. And before you guys say, okay, it's too soon for us to be talking about missions. You know, it's not October. We just had our missions emphasis month last year. This is not the approach that I want to take, okay? I want us to think a little bit outside of the box when it comes to missions, okay? When I accepted the Lord when I was 14 years old, I came from a Catholic background. My family was all Catholic and not very practicant. We'd tell people that we were, but we're not of a relationship with the Lord. And I came to know Christ through a Baptist church back in Brazil, through a friend's invitation that took me to church. And I remember, like a good Baptist traditional church that it was, one of the elders came to my side, just called my attention, said, yes, now that you know Christ, every Sunday morning learning the word, every Wednesday praying, and every Sunday evening worshiping together. I looked at him, I said, whoa, I just accepted Christ. I didn't know that it was all that was involved, you know. So it caught me a little bit as a surprise, but it was amazing how with the time being, you know, like that same elder had to come here and kick me out of the church, kick me out of serving the Lord there because it was just like amazing. You know, a lot of people think when they think about missions, what missions are, you know, we think about going overseas, about planting churches, about pastoring a church, about doing something, you know, like a department in your church, and some other things that are related to that. Missions, many times, it's just a ministry inside the modern church. We tend to think within the realm of that. You know, and my challenge for you guys tonight, it's to think in missions not as a ministry, but missions as a crucial commandment left by Christ to his church, to us here on earth. When you think in a mission, you cannot think about like a shape or a form of something that has to take place in a determined place, but it's something that we as Christians that we have to be doing. The text that I would like to start with you guys tonight, it's a text that's very well known from all of you. It's Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, right? But I would like you to read this text, not thinking about Brazil, not thinking about Africa, not thinking about Europe, not thinking about anywhere else other than your neighborhood, than your house, than your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, your mother-in-law, your son-in-law, the people that God has put in your life and that he has shown you. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to receive, to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. Praise God for his word. As I told you guys, in the beginning, I thought that this is like for the super missionaries. You know, when I look at pastors, when I look at missionaries that have years of experience, they would come to my church and they would tell us all about all the things that they went through in the tribes of Papua New Guinea or in the big cities of like Europe or whatever the Lord take them. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. It's almost like you being with Superman right there. You know, like it's something that, yes, it's not from this world. You know, and as I grew, I came to understand that this understanding that we have, many times it's just like our way to saying, this is not for me. I'm just a common person. I'm just somebody that has limited knowledge, limited talents, limited gifts. It's for somebody else, you know? And as in reading and understanding the Word of God, I came across Acts 1:8, which is like another famous verse from the Bible that says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This part, you will receive power. I always understood in a sense that, okay, God is the one who enables that those amazing missionaries to go and to do amazing things for his word. But when I started applying that to my life, you know, I was right when I was thinking, I don't have many talents, I don't have many gifts, I don't have enough knowledge. I was right with all that. Because all the talent, all the gift, and all the knowledge is going to be given to me by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Lord who is in control of everything, and he's the one who is enabling me to do things and to be instrumental for his work, whatever he leads me. When we think about this part, applying to our lives, you know, I know many of you guys here. We have talked before service, after service. I've had the privilege of having meals with you guys and getting to know you guys a little bit. But besides the Lord, besides the Holy Spirit that lives within each one of us, only you know how this text can be applied to your life. Only you know what's the enablement that the Lord gave you to be instrumental for his glory, whatever he takes you, whatever he leads you. Thinking not only in overseas missions, but thinking about the life that he has given you right now. And when we think that way, we can only answer, there are some ways that we can actually answer to this calling of the Lord and to this enablement of the Lord. And that's what I would like to lay to stay this tonight with some verses from the book of Luke, start on chapter 9, starting on verse 57. Okay, we have some ways that we can answer to this calling of the Lord in our lives. When I was a teenager and I accepted that I was a sinner, and my sins made separation from God and myself, and I decided to repent from my sins and trust my life to the care of Jesus Christ and believe in Him as my Savior, you know, that's all I know at that moment. And as soon as I started learning from the Word of God and from His gospel, He started challenging me in many different ways. And this text that I'm going to share with you guys, that's in Luke chapter 9, the title says, The Cost of Following Jesus. Okay, I'm going to be, the verses 57 and 58, they read like that. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. One of the things when you're reading the Bible, it's that it's amazing how Christ sees through you, through the people to whom he was talking. It's amazing how at first sight it may appear that his answer has nothing to do with what the person actually said, but it's comforting to know that the Lord is actually not looking at the outer appearance of that, but He's looking at their hearts. And in this answer that the Lord gave to this first scribe that came to talk to Him, we can see that one of the ways that we can answer to the call of Christ in our lives is with precipitation. The background of this verse here, Jesus Christ has just fed the 5,000. He was starting His ministry with wonders and signs and with miracles. There was a multitude of people that were actually following Him. You know, He was famous at the time being. You know, I imagine Him seeing in this guy somebody that was there and said, whoa, Jesus' ministry here is hot. You know, like, He probably is going to become someone very big, very huge here in Jerusalem. So I better get on the boat because probably I'll have something for me right there. And it's amazing how Jesus Christ saw through that, and He was able to tell him, yes, but just keep in mind that the outcome may not be what you were expecting from me. The outcome may be very different than what you were thinking. And how many times we see people that are like us in our lives, even. Many times when we don't take into consideration the full consequences of following Christ. You know, I'm going to tell you, when I first accepted Christ, trusted Christ in my life, I never thought that He would take me here today. That I would be here. March 28th is going to be 20 years since I said yes to Christ for my life. And what an amazing journey it has been. But I look at the Thiago back then in 1999 with 14 years old. And I look at him like, and I say, wow, I'm so glad for God's grace in my life that He didn't keep me that way. But He has been challenging me every day, you know, to grow in His Word, to live for Him. You know, this scribe, he was very enthusiastic. He was rash. He was quick and eager. He was hasty in promising. Luke 14:28 shows us that he was not taking upon consideration all that was involved in following Christ. You know, his priorities were an earthly outcome, too caught up in all the signs and wonders, and thinking he could make a profit out of it. You know, when you open your Bible in John 6, it's interesting you see that in the beginning of the verse with all the 5,000, Jesus had several men that were following him and they were seeking for all the signs and for all the wonders and for everything that he had to offer. But when you go down to verse 66, after all that, when they were seeing that it's actually involved a cost for you to be following Jesus Christ, they all started abandoning him one by one. Sometimes, many Christians, us as Christians, we want a gospel that's a Plato gospel, something that you can touch with your hands and something that you can shape in the way that you want. You know, you don't think, you don't expect and don't try and grow in the Lord to see what else he has to offer, and that actually you are the plate on his hands. You are the one that's being shaped, you know. One thing that I take from this first guy, this precipitated guy, to ask myself if I'm as just merely a believer or if I'm actually a follower of Jesus Christ. Trusting in Jesus Christ is fundamental, but it's only the first step. Our primary purpose, our priority in this life, it's to take a lifelong journey following him in the Lord's footsteps, honoring him with our actions, with our speech, and increasing in our biblical wisdom. And this is so hard, isn't it? Many times what I want, it's just to watch movies, it's just to have fun, it's just like to, right now, you know, like to get out with my wife and to come to know like all the nice things that America has to offer, not being from here. It's very hard for you to sit down and to meditate in God's word and to actually pray and to actually get our prayer bulletin and pray for each one of those persons, people that are there. It's very hard for us to actually understand all that's involved with being a follower of Jesus Christ. But we are called to do that, not to answer with precipitation, but to take into consideration all that's involved in following Christ. One second way of us to answer to this call of Christ is found in verse 59 and 60 of Luke 9. And it says, "To another he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.'" Second way for us to answer to the call of Christ in our lives, it's with procrastination. Many times we are too caught up in our own life and in the own responsibilities that this world brings to actually pay attention to what the Lord is putting right in front of us. The true challenge in the life of a Christian is not only the daily task of choosing between the right thing and the wrong thing. We Christians, since the very beginning, we probably can tell that's wrong to kill, wrong to steal, wrong to do those sorts of things. Sometimes the true challenge is demonstrated as choosing in between the right thing and what seems to be the right thing. This disciple that is told in verse 59 and 60, he was overcautious. He was entangled, prioritizing his earthly obligations. Too slow in performing, he was delayed in his execution. One thing that I did back in the day when I was in law school, it was to understand, to try and pray for God for his will to be done in my life. For 1 year, I decided to do with the Lord, like to just, instead of putting my own agenda in front of him, to actually make myself available for him. You know, I said, for this year, everything that you bring to my in front of me, as far as service in your house and service to your ministry, I'm going to say yes. And it was so interesting because that beginning brought me here today. It's a long journey of more than 10 years, and it was not always easy. You know, like many things have been happened across this path, but it was just so amazing when I look behind and I look at so many things that I could have done wrong, differently. But I just chose, you know, like to allow myself to be caught up in the concerns and of the things of this world. You know, we all have bills to pay. We all have things that we ought to do. One of the things that that is still pressing in my heart to the day is the fact that my mom, she doesn't know Christ as her personal Savior. And for many years, this is the thing that actually was my main concern, you know. How can I preach you to others if my own family doesn't know you as their personal Savior? And that consumed me to a point where I was actually feeling that I was the responsible for my family to come in to know Christ. I thought that as a Christian, I had to make sure that my two sisters, my dad, my mom, they knew Christ so I could go and I could actually talk about Christ to others. And looking back to the day, I can just imagine like how many time I lost trying to make to take the role of the Holy Spirit in my life. You know, I can love them, I can pray for them, I can show them the truth, but I cannot make anybody believe that Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's with every realm of our lives. You know, we are not responsible for anybody accepting Christ. Just being good citizens, we are not going to make Christ known. When we are paying our bills in time, we are not just making Christ known for that. These are all things that are implicated in following Christ, in being a law-abiding citizen, in being a good son, in being a good daughter, in being a good father, in being a good mother. But what has to be the priority in our lives every day when we wake up and when we go to bed is to making Christ known through our lives. When we started putting things in front of that, this became just like a way of procrastinating in what the Lord wants us to do. And it can get very subtle at times. You know, Matthew 10, verse 37 and 39 says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." God gave you all these realms of action in your life that we were talking, like your role as a parent, your role as a citizen, your role as a friend. But all that is with the priority of making him known and honoring him through your life and not the other way around. This has to be our goal, and everything else is just a result of our following with Christ. This will allow us to use the time that we have in this earth, which is very limited, for his glory and not being caught up in what this world is. So this is a second way that we many times can answer to the call of the Lord. First with precipitation, second with procrastination, and thirdly with preoccupation. Okay, Luke 9, 61 and 62 says, "Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" It may seem very similar to the previous one that was too caught up with his father and with the things that he had to do. It may seem also that he's talking primarily with people that are in ministry, because he's mentioning no one had puts his hand in the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. But we have also a lesson to take from this part, you know. When it comes to obeying God, our only response is, I will or I want. It's tempting to say, I will, but as some of Jesus' would-be disciples did, but that's a roundabout of saying no. That's us many times, right? I have always tried to put conditions in me following Jesus the way that he intended me to do. In the beginning, when he showed me full-time ministry, I said, Lord, I'm not a speaker. I don't know, like I get too caught up with things and I don't know how to be objective. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. And I saw that that was actually delaying God's work in my life. You know, yes, I was never able and I will never be able because God wants to show me that it's not me and my abilities, but it's him through me. And this is each one of our lives, you know. There are people that you guys know, that each one of you have contact with, that Pastor Todd will never be able to come in contact with, that Miss Karen's never gonna be able to come in contact with, you know, but that only you can, that God put in your life, in your realm of influence, for you to be a salt and light in their lives, you know. And many times we are too caught up with the things that we have to do and saying, like, Lord, I will obey you. Okay, I really want to obey you. But first I have to do this. First I have to do that. Though the reference seems chiefly to ministers, as I said, the application is general. The expression looking back has a manifest reference to Lot's wife. Genesis 19:26 says, we can find this reference. It's not actual return to the world, but a reluctance to break with it. Many times we are too preoccupied in being the best, having like the best car, having the best house, having the best profession, doing things that the world deems important, that we get too caught up and we forgot that the main thing that we are here is to give glory to God and to be salt and light in this world. In both passages, potential disciples hesitate in light of their earthly responsibilities. However, Jesus is concerned with discipleship, not familial obligations. You can find that in J.D. Barry that said that, and I had opportunity to read. This is something that it's in our lives, you know. One thing that it's very different from Brazil here in America, it's the known American dream. You know, it's so amazing how many things you guys have here. You know, like you can see the difference. One of the examples that I gave when I was here, it's like ice cream. Erica took me to the supermarket when we first got here, and she said, pick one flavor of ice cream that you want just as a welcome to America. I think I stayed there for more than 30 minutes just trying to find out, like, what flavor of ice cream to pick. You know, you have so many options. You have so many things. You know, like, it's not easy to be American. I can tell you guys, like, me, it's for Brazilian, I'm having a hard time with it. I can't wait. One of the reasons I want to go to Brazil is because things are a little bit more simple there. But it's so interesting how it seems that the world's living just for that. You know, like, we learned, like, okay, at certain point, it's going to have one thing that's going to fit for myself, that's going to be tailored some just for me, you know, and that's the thought that many times caught our attention, get our attention, and prevents us from serving the Lord. you know. And this, you know, in my life, I can see that in all my walk with the Lord, it was not only like one way that I answered to the Lord. It has not always been with procrastination. It has not ever been with preoccupation and with precipitation. It seems that Christian life is a time of phases. Things that you have to do at every day. The Bible says that like he who judges himself to be standing, watch that he may not fall. And this is something that happens in the life of each one of us. How does the Lord wants us to answer to the call that he has to our lives, to be sought, to be life, to be Christians, and to be at the difference where we are? We can find this in Matthew 4, chapter 18 to 22. That brings a little bit of a difference, like from those three examples that we have seen. It says like that. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, his father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. The way that the Lord expects us to grow and to be able to answer him when he has a call for our lives, it's with promptness. Immediately, like Pastor Todd has been told in his introduction to the book of Mark. We are to abandon everything else that's obstructing us from following Christ and follow him. In every day, in everything in our lives, we are to prioritize Jesus Christ. Followers, they pursue the Lord because they know that the reward is a deeper, more passionate relationship with them. They are not just waiting to spend eternity with God in heaven. Eternity begins now. As they accompany him on the righteous path he has set before them. This is true discipleship. This is us understanding that we are not expecting for the future, but we are here to answer to the call of the Lord right now. We are to be different, to be salt and light in this world, so that by us being different, we may lead others to a different path, one that leads to eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross of Calvary. This is the way that the Lord wants us to answer. I'm only 35 years old. I know that we have people in this church that it's way past the 100 year. Right, and I see that many of you guys have way more life than I do, you know. But I, as a Christian, I cannot tell that I'm going to live to be 50 years old, that I'm going to live to be 65-year-old, 75-year-old. I cannot tell you that I'm going to live to be one day older than I am right now. The Lord is calling me to do his work right now, to get out of my comfort zone right now, to do his work right now. And I praise the Lord that he gives me this call every day. One of the things that I love here at Faith, it's that every time that we are to be dismissed from a Sunday morning service, our pastor stands up and he says, you are sent. We are sent every day and every moment of our lives. And how we answer that, you know, we have preoccupations, we have precipitation, we have so many reasons to just put on hold the call of God for our life. But challenge yourself where you are in your realm of action. to be prompt to the call of the Lord in your life. Matthew 6:19 through 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." As Pastor said, and many of you guys know, Eric and I, we were expecting. Well, she's expecting, right? And I am expecting that she have the baby. But if you talk to us, somehow, one way or the other, I'm going to put her, Isabella, or little baby Isabella, into the conversation. I'm going to tell about her. We are preparing, we're cherishing, like, washing all those teeny tiny clothes and preparing her her bed and making sure that she has everything, you know. We are right now, I can say we are like breathing, becoming parents. You know, that's all that we know, like for this past month or so, even like before that. And every time that I do that, I think with myself, I love this girl that's not even born yet. I just want her to have the best life, and I want to be the best parent that I could be for her. You know, she is now like my number one priority. Because I love her. Aren't we to be like that with the Lord? Isn't him the one that's supposed to be our priority number one? And if he is, why I'm not like every day making sure that he has the best that he can have from me, that he is in every one of my conversations, that he is the one that's the center of everything that I do, that he is the air that I breathe. You know, many times we as Christians, we understand Christian life, we understand the things that we have to do, we understand Sunday services, and we understand missions, foreign missions, and all of that. But many times we got too caught up in other things to understand that missions is not only my church's mission, it's my mission to make Christ known. And I challenge you guys tonight to find yourselves, where are you at in your walk with the Lord? And how have you been answering to this call of the Lord in your life? Have you been precipitated, not taking into consideration all the things that are involved with being a Christian and being a witness for Christ, whatever you are? Has you been too preoccupied with things of this world? Just pray. And ask the Lord to actually just take you step by step further. So church cannot be just like those four walls or even just this neighborhood, but can be everywhere in everything that you breathe and live. Because there is no way for us to separate Christian life from church life and from our lives. If we are truly seeking to follow the Lord, and if our priority is to make him known. And whatever we treasure, we will prioritize. We will always find time to do what we believe it is the reason for our existence. I hope that you guys, in all that you have and all that you do, can find this reason and can live for the glory of God, having the mission to make him known to the people that are around you. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.